Brenda Fisher, Talent and Literary Manager.
And I'm Jacqueline Reynolds, Chief Digital Talent Officer at RSA Entertainment.
Our podcast, Badass Babes of Entertainment, will discuss the entertainment industry and the challenges facing today's actors, influencers, brands, and content creators. Beck Doyle, welcome to the Badass Babe of Entertainment. And I've got my sidekick here today. We're calling her Megan Badass.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to speak with you both.
Yes, we're excited to have you as well. And we're so excited to talk about your M Citizen, your magazine that's online. So excited to hear about how you started it and all about it. So just tell us all about it.
Okay, well, going back, I guess it kind of all came about early on in the pandemic. Obviously, I had a lot of extra time on my hands, like everyone. And I noticed a growing concern for environmental, animal, humanitarian issues that the pandemic kind of evoked in, you know, the mass population. And I am predominantly plant-based. I've always kind of had an insane empathy for animals and people as well, of course, but animals. Yes. And so I just kind of loved how that was one positive that I saw come about from the pandemic, which is, you know, incredible. And I guess I just kind of took it as an opportunity. It kind of inspired me to create this magazine, which was all the things that I've done for my entire life, like my career, fashion, beauty. I'm a model and actress and studied journalism. So it kind of brought everything together and turned into M Citizen. And I had a dream about it. So it came, the idea had flooded around in my head. And then one night I dreamt about the magazine. I dreamt the logo, just the whole kind of concept. And I woke up in the morning and I messaged a good friend of mine who works closely with me on the magazine, Glenn Nutley. He's an incredible photographer and actually an amazing makeup artist and hairstylist as well. It was his beginning like that, but lately he's been focusing more on photography. So I called him and I told him my idea and he was like, I love it. I'm in. So basically it was just a magazine that was going to provide the reader with the latest in entertainment, fashion, beauty, health and wellness with a focus on sustainability and advocacy. And he is the same as me, plant-based, really passionate about animals, the environment, sustainability. It just kind of formed and we started working on it. And then the first issue came out in September. It was our fall issue. And we had actress Janelle Parrish featured on the cover. And it's kind of just been evolving from there.
That is amazing. I love it when badass babes out there get ideas to come up with something new and exciting and just make it happen. And especially that you did it during the pandemic, because when a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I love it when I hear that people like took something and ran with it and made something amazing out of it. And we're huge animal lovers as well. We support the Burbank Animal Shelter on our website. And we love dogs so much. I have three of my own. And we just went hiking this weekend. Me and Megan Badass over here.
We did.
We went hiking with the dogs and they entertained us. They are so much fun.
I have a beautiful dog, rescue dog too. His name's Harry and he's my life.
Where's Harry at?
He's so precious.
I think he's out the back. He's out back with my man being entertained because otherwise he'd be running through here, I'm sure.
He's like, I'm out of here. I'm in the backyard.
He's very adorable. We like to call him Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Oh my gosh, I love that. What kind of dog is he?
He's a Staffordshire Terrier mixed with a miniature pincher.
Mixed with a minute. I think I just saw the man kind of poke his head in back there.
Where is that? Is Harry over here? Where is he? Oh, he is here.
Oh, my God.
He was being quiet on the couch.
Oh, Harry, you were being quiet. Look at you.
Harry to go get now. He's like, what's all the excitement?
He's like, there's
no
food.
He's looking for a squirrel or something.
I know. He's like, I don't get it. Why are these people laughing? Who is that?
His ears perked up.
I always like to, when dogs come on the screen, I always want to ask them, do you want a cookie? And then they look at me like, yeah, you got one?
Anything. He's become very food motivated lately.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, he just went hauling, I think, to find your man out there. He's like, okay, somebody said cookie, better get me one. Dogs are the best. They are just the best. I love them so much. And I love that you are so animal oriented and supportive. And it's so funny. I have to ask you, you like plant-based. Have you ever had Blazen Burgers on Victory?
No.
They are plant-based, and my son had eaten 3 of them and had no idea that they were plant-based. He thought they were meat.
I love that. I feel like most people wouldn't know unless you really told them. They'd probably just think it was like that meat tasted a little funny or a little different.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so now he's like...
I've eaten meat for, gosh, I think it's been like 4 years. So... I honestly, sometimes when I get an Impossible Burger, like I got one from Mendocino Farms recently, and we're on a shoot, actually. It was one of the shoots for the latest issue, and we ordered in like Mendocino for the whole team. And I was convinced that they had sent me the wrong burger. I'm like, this is meat.
Oh, I've done
that.
It's
been so long. And I'm like, this is meat. And I was so scared. I kept taking another bite. I'm like, no. Like, it was actually disturbing for me. I'm like, I can't eat this. Like, I think this is meat. And then my boyfriend's like, no, that's not meat, babe. Like, it doesn't taste meat. I was convinced. It
isn't
was like, I was
crazy.
Yeah, horrified.
It's awesome, though, when they can make it taste like so... real. It's like, whoa, this is crazy. So now my kid will eat vegetarian burgers. So I'm
yes.
like, hey.
That's how it starts. And then you kind of, yeah, it snowballs into going predominantly plant-based. I hope try some more plant-based options.
For sure.
What I was going to say is I went to a place where I got a latte and asked for almond milk, but it was freshly made. And I went back and I was like, are you sure this is mine? And she poured it from like the jug so I could see it. But because since it was fresh, I thought it was actual milk. I was
it tastes
like, oh,
different. Like
so
when
different
they,
from the carton.
They like make them in store sometimes.
Yeah.
It does taste different. Yeah. I get
very
that.
Good. So how long does it take you to plan out the magazine?
I kind of let it happen organically, and it's like, as you know, it's seasonal. So I let it happen organically. I give myself about 2 weeks after the issue comes out to kind of decompress from the previous issue and also just make sure everybody involved in that issue has received all their spreads, because we like to send everyone their spreads from the magazine. So everyone has like the high quality images. And that usually takes about a week, getting around to everybody and making sure everyone has everything and planning out the social media, the posts. And so, yeah, generally after about 2 to 3 weeks, I start to really look into the next issue. But often, like, people will reach out to me with a subject, or friends of mine in the industry. I know a lot of creatives that kind of collaborate on the magazine, and they often just come up with ideas and they'll call me or text me and be like, what about this? And I'm like, yes, I love it. So like with the next issue, we're going to feature a whole story on LA models and how they've just created a plus size division and how it's becoming so much more inclusive and diverse. And so we're going to have a whole story on that. And we're going to feature this incredible plus size model among with many other things. But that was just come up from a story from a friend of mine who she wrote an article in the winter issue. And so it kind of just keeps coming around like that, and people are all connected and have ideas. And I love that. I love that it just happens organically. And that's what I wanted it to be. I mean, I also still model and act, so I'm dividing my time between all these things. So the fact that people are able to pitch ideas to me and follow through with them and be amazing is a huge help.
That's amazing. How do you find people to work with besides your friends? Like, have you ever had trouble saying, oh, I need a hairstylist, or what is this section in the magazine going to be about?
Yeah, no, I mean, it just comes really organically. And if like somebody I know, if I ask them if they want to be involved in a specific shoot and they're not available, they'll be like, you should use this person. And they'll give me like 10 recommendations of people that they love to work with. And it always works out. And I'm so fortunate that I have access to this amazing caliber of creatives and artists that I'm able to work with. These people are like, I mean, on our winter beauty shoot, the makeup artist who did all of the makeup for that shoot, Georgie Isdell, she does Gwyneth Paltrow and Dakota Johnson and huge celebrities like that. So we're able to get really incredible artists involved with the magazine, which I think also makes it so special. A lot of these artists have, it's special to them in the way that they also support sustainability and advocacy for animals and whatnot. So they're all really excited to be involved, which I love seeing that as a growing trend. now and how much more common it's becoming. It's exciting to see everywhere I look now, I'm almost seeing sustainable. And it makes me super happy. And it's making it a lot easier for stylists who come on board to source completely sustainable or vegan looks for our fashion stories. So the more that I see it like everywhere, it makes it easier for me. And also it makes me really excited that people are going to have that much more access to these products and garments or beauty products, whatever it is that we're featuring. And I love that.
I love that. I've read all of the magazines, which you know that I am a super fan. And the latest one, I was telling Beck that the latest one that I read had all the makeup in it. And I'm always looking for vegan, gluten-free, all natural stuff. And if you don't have the time when you're busy acting and doing all these different things, and then you see it and you're like, okay, well, I trust this magazine. I trust these women. I'm going to purchase it. So it just makes it really easy.
Yeah, I think that's the point. It's meant to take the hassle out of people who are wanting to try and be a little more eco-conscious. And that's definitely the aim. We aim to inspire and surprise and enlighten and inform, but not in like a pushy way. I want people to be able to make up, you know, their own choices when they see things or read about something. And that's the whole point. So I love that that helped you, Megan.
Thank you.
That is so amazing. I love that. I love hearing just these stories of women that are doing these amazing things that help other women as well as men. But being the badass babes of entertainment, we are even more excited when there are things that are helping out women to make their lives easier. We were just talking about today is Gloria Steinem's birthday. And talk about the most amazing badass babe of all time and someone who's done such amazing things for women. It's just always exciting to see other people following in her footsteps in some way or another, doing things to help other women, because she was like one of the first that was just like, hey, we need to help other women out. We need to be supportive, because we can't keep being competitive with women. We need to lift each other up and we need to help each other. And so that brings me to a big question for you, Beck. I would like to know if you could do a shout out to a badass babe in your world that has done something amazing to help lift you up and help you succeed.
My badass babe would have to be my mother, Heather Doyle, who has always supported me and encouraged me in everything that I do. I mean, I'm across the world. I haven't seen them. I'm Australian. I haven't seen my family for, almost 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and I'm not able to get back because of the pandemic. It makes it really tricky. So to know and have that support constantly, even though we're so far apart, it makes it that much easier. And she definitely has always inspired me to be the best version of myself and to do the best that I can in everything that I do. So my mom,
that's
making
awesome.
Made me tear up a little bit.
Made me tear up a little bit.
I love that. Well, shout out to Heather Doyle back in Australia. Love Australia.
Yes.
That's awesome. So she'll definitely have to listen and hear
I
her
know.
Kudos and
no,
that is amazing.
Well, I know. I completely like women supporting women is, I don't know if you saw our latest cover for our spring issue. We interviewed actress, writer, producer, and now director, Laura Vandervoort. And the whole conversation we had was women supporting women. And the thing that made her or inspired her to take the leap into directing, even though she doesn't have any technical background in it, was the support of other female filmmakers and directors who, when she pitched an idea to them, were like, you should do this, like you can do it. And she said that she wouldn't have been able to do it, or she wouldn't have taken that leap of faith if she hadn't been encouraged by these incredible women. She said that they were holding her hand the whole time. So that's just one of those stories that I love to hear. Women supporting women, especially in this industry, it makes me really happy. And I think that it's definitely paving the way for future female filmmakers or anything really, any kind of creative, and just it'll open more doors for all of us the more we can help each other.
Absolutely. And I definitely think that we are really onto something now, and everything happening in our world in the past couple of years, I think, has made it even more important for women to really speak up and talk about the other women in their world that have helped pave the way. And the fact that women are being less competitive with each other and more inclusive, reaching out an olive branch to help others so that they don't have to struggle like they did if that was the case. I think that's amazing.
And exactly.
It's yeah. so great. So great. It makes me so hopeful. I love it.
I know, me too.
I love it.
Because that's something like I have always thought in the back of my head, I would love to direct. And like with that same fear, but I don't have the technical background. And to hear Laura's experience, she had an incredible female DP that was like, basically Laura would describe this scene to her, what she envisioned. And the DP would be like, okay, cool. This is how we make that happen. This is the lens that you need. And that kind of inspired me to think, okay, we're not, there are no limitations. Like we can do anything when we're working together. And I think that's one huge thing that I got from that story and definitely inspired me. I'm like, okay, maybe one day I can direct film or whatever it may be. And I'm definitely putting a lot of new skills to the test with the magazine. I'm producing all the shoots. I do the layout. I learned InDesign. Like I really pushed the boundaries of my own knowledge and skill set. And I'm so proud of that. And I'm so happy that I now have all these skills that I wasn't even aware that I could do or could have. So yeah.
That is so cool. I love that so much. Well, Beck, thank you so much for being on the Badass Babes of Entertainment.
Yes. Thank you for always inspiring us.
Yes.
Oh, you guys. And this is
so excited to follow your magazine online, M Citizen.
Tell them where they can read it on Instagram. It's M Citizen.
Yeah, so our Instagram is at M Citizen Mag, and you can find the link to the magazine in our bio. It has our latest issue there. It's a spring issue with Laura Vandervoort on the cover, and our previous issues are up there as well, so you can check them all out.
Awesome.
That is awesome. We will definitely check that out. And
yes.
Beck Doyle, thank you so much, and we will talk soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Badass Babes of Entertainment, and we have another guest coming at you now. Welcome to the Badass Babes of Entertainment. I'm Brenda Fisher.
And I'm Megan Katz. We have Houston Bradley today. Houston Bradley is the assistant to the leading agent of UTA's Heartland Initiative, launched in December of 2020, which is dedicated to representing creators in the Heartland space like comedians, podcasts, production companies, authors, musicians, and other talent that demonstrate the distinct voices of and for this region of America that have often been missed by mainstream Hollywood. The group focuses on the shared values of community, faith, and family, but it's not limited to any one type of voice or storyteller. Houston's client roster includes stars from the comedy, podcast production, publishing, music, and film and TV spaces alike, such as Kathy Lee Gifford, Sadie Robertson, comedian John Crist, pastor Chad Veach, musician Danny Gokey, filmmakers John and Andy Irwin, and many, many more. Thank you, Houston, so much for being on our podcast.
Yes.
What's up? I'm on a podcast with badass in the name, and I feel real cool about that.
Right?
Good, good. So it was announced to the world that UTA was starting this new venture on December 17th, but you have been working on Heartland for what now, a year, year and a half?
We have been officially operating for nearly, I guess, over 2 years now. We announced our initiative to our own company and started doing our thing and figuring out what that would mean and what it would look like in January of 2019. And then it took us a little while to get our first press out there to announce it to the world for no one reason in particular, but it did not mean that we weren't officially moving and shaking. On top of that, I was unofficially working on the project and learning what that meant for my own life and career and the opportunity for about 6 months even before that. So if it's April of 2021, we've been doing this for 2.5 years.
Wow. So I know the story. I know it's very complex and cool. And we wanted to have you on here and for you to be able to share what that looked like with our listeners. I think what's great is that you said it took a few years before it actually took off. And I think so many people with a dream don't understand why it isn't happening overnight, why it takes so long. And I think that this is a really cool story because it just shows that even if you're one of the top talent agencies in the world that anything worth having takes time, dedication, and hard work. So can you tell us the story of how it all came to be?
Sure. I'd love to. And I think it's so cool because you're most definitely a part of it.
I am.
I've had this kind of long, classic, stereotypical journey in the agency world. I went to film school, studied film and econ. I got out of there. My mentor had told me I needed to go to a talent agency if I wanted to pursue my dream. So I went to ICM right out of college, did my mailroom time there, got on my first desk, worked in crossover talent. My first boss and myself had a relationship that was, you know, dramatic and intense because I wasn't great at my job. She wasn't a personality match for me, we could say. I think she taught me so much, and I wouldn't change the time I spent working with her for anything, because it ultimately helped me figure out that I needed to make another change. And I used a relationship that I had developed there to get an opportunity to interview for another lady at UTA, who was my first boss at UTA. I worked in digital talent, live events and experiences for her for over a year. And that was a phenomenal experience where I learned a ton. And then this agent was beginning to transition to working in events and experiences as her primary and sole focus. And she was super awesome and transparent with me on that and said, "Houston, this is what I'm going to do. Do you want to do it as well? I think there's an opportunity for a quick promotion here, but I, you know that events isn't your thing. That's not what you came over here to do. So I want to give you the opportunity to pivot and do something else if that's how you're feeling." And that was how I was feeling. I didn't want to go into the live events and experiences space. I'd worked VidCon a couple of times and I'd seen how it worked, but it just wasn't where my heart was at. It wasn't what I thought my skill set and blessings and talents were telling me to do. So in that moment, I began thinking, like, what do I want to do? What do I want to do with this agency? Do I want to go over and work with directors, film and TV talent? That's what I was closer to in college. That's kind of when I had this aha moment. And I was working in the UTA digital talent department for a while, and we represented a ton of creators, social media stars, YouTubers, all kinds of awesome people that produced content that didn't resonate with me. Obviously, or maybe not obviously, a makeup tutorial isn't going to fire me up. Playing with slime isn't going to be my favorite cup of tea. But in a more broad sense, I was just like, okay, like, these creators are making so much money. They're doing so many awesome things. What about the people that do resonate with me? And who are those people? And at the time, I had gotten really serious about my faith. I had found an amazing church community in Los Angeles. I started reading the books, consuming the content, doing all the things. And that's when it clicked. I was like, yo, these pastors have insane followings. These musicians have insane followings. These comedians have millions of people following them, are sharing their memes, are sharing their videos, but UTA doesn't represent them. Who represents them? I quickly learned nobody did. So I started making that known within the company that I was looking to champion the faith-based space. And that is, you're right, Megan, where the story gets a little bit more complicated and kind of long-winded. Just to save breath on that, I'll just say that I raised my hand. I expressed interest. I had a point of view. I had an opinion. I had something I was passionate about that I wanted to work towards. And I just began to take every opportunity that anybody would give me to let people know that that's what I was about, that I was willing to do the work, that I was willing to put in the time. And it certainly took a lot of work and a lot of time, but like in life, one thing led to another. And I ultimately was connected with my current boss and the leader of our Heartland Initiative at UTA, Nick Barnes, who was having his own faith journey, his own career moment, who called me after Megan and myself had done a prayer walk around UTA. That's still something that I'll never forget, because she hit me up to do this prayer circle. I've been going to these progressive kind of millennial cool churches in LA, but I've never had anyone like circle around me and request to pray for me before. Like, that's kind of weird. Then she showed up at UTA and was like, all right, like, let's go on a walk. And I was like, what about the weird prayer circle? And she was like, you're a weird prayer circle. We're actually going to the building. That's what we're doing. Don't be so strange. And I did indeed feel out of touch at that moment. I had been praying into it. And then the kind of final note on that story is like, Nick called me a couple months later, however long it was, and was like, hey, bro, I have an idea. I want to turn this faith-based Southern heartland, family, hope-driven, value-based, make the world a better place ethos. And I want to plant my flag in it, and I want to make a department out of it. And I want you to be the guy in LA, and I'll be the guy in Nashville. And let's do this. Let's go for it. Like, how do you feel about that? Are you willing to do that with me? And I remember kind of moving the phone away from my ear at that point, kind of taking a breath, coming back, and was just like, Nick, it's exactly what I want to do. This is what I've been praying for. This is like the dream for me right now. Like, I'm ecstatic you would even say that, because it's exactly what I wanted to do. But I couldn't do that as a 26-year-old assistant. Like, I need you in order to do that. So if you want to do it, I am your guy. At that point, we made a business proposal. It was like a 26-pager. Talked to all the people in the hierarchy that we needed to, got some thumbs up and green lights along the way. And we were ultimately approved to start the UTA Heartland Initiative. I learned so much about corporate structure, approval processes, diplomacy, and all the things during that. Until this day, still we learn and learn and learn all the things that we had no idea were things. But it's been really fun. And between Nick in Nashville and me in LA, we work cross-departmentally with all the different groups at UTA to try to represent what we've defined as heartland creators. So it's not just people of faith, and it's not just people from the heartland or the South, but it really does reflect people who identify with that ethos, or maybe speak to that audience directly or indirectly, maybe just resonate in that area. And at this point, seems like nothing is off limits. Like, we get brought in to, you know, help sign Tori Kelly, help sign Chance the Rapper, help sign Chip and Joanna Gaines. And then sometimes we're taken off those teams because they don't really need a heartland representation, but it was nice to be able to connect with them in order to help show them that UTA is a place that they would be represented and well-served. And maybe we focus more on the guys like John Crist and Danny Gokey and some of the people that might be lost in the sauce at a big spot like UTA, where we're all about them. I'll put in a couple hours a day towards each of those people if that's what they need.
That's so cool. So maybe I missed this, but how did you and Nick initially get connected? Because he's in Nashville,
right?
You're in LA, you were putting out the feelers, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Who was there, someone that said, Houston, you've got to meet Nick? Or did they call? How did that pan out?
So once I was beginning to raise my hand, I had heard on the phone when I was still working with my first boss at UTA that there was someone who was working on a faith-based project, and that there was this managerial company, production company. We represent Robert Deaton at UTA, who does like the CMA Music Awards and a couple other things in the faith-based world. And I had heard on this call, and I didn't know what I heard, but I knew that they were talking about faith-based talent. So I walked into my boss's office and said, hey, do you mind if I reach out to those agents and let them know that I want to be available to provide some bandwidth and put some work into that project? Because it didn't sound like anybody on the call was head over heels about it. And she was like, sure, I think that's a great idea. So I reached out to a couple of pretty big name agents at UTA at that time. A few of them were partners, and told them, this is something that I want to do. They told me, okay, do research, create profiles on every single client that Third Coast Content has on their roster and send it to us. So I did. And then Robert Deaton was coming to UTA to have a meeting with Third Coast himself and a couple of those big name partners. And they invited me to join because I clearly knew the client list of theirs. I had done the research and they were also pretty self-aware that it would be nice to have a good old Southern boy who believes in Jesus in on the meeting, and maybe not just a bunch of bi-coastal entertainment Jewish folk who were into money, power, respect.
Always nice to have different points of view.
That process is when Robert Deaton, being from Nashville, started to bring in Nick Barnes, who is also from Nashville. And Nick was kind of involved with some of those higher up agents who were doing projects in this space. And next thing, I was talking to Nick pretty frequently and letting Nick know about what my dreams for this space and working in that world were. And we kind of just kept finding little small projects to do, and we're just feeling it out. I had to operate as a floater at UTA for a while. I made myself available through the mailroom class to sub for any agents whose assistants were sick or had appointments or needed a temporary floater. I worked for the head of our marketing department for a while, the head of our TV unscripted department for a while. I would, for sometimes just a day or two at a time, work for partners or different agents that they knew they could count on me to sub and step in and do a good job, because I've been an assistant for so long, kind of seen it all. And in the middle of doing that, I just had to continue to keep my eyes on the prize and know, like, this is cool. These are good experiences. I'm making relationships and I'm having a decent time some days doing it. But what I want to do is figure out where is my spot at UTA and how can I make it around. For me, I keep saying it, faith-based talent, but what Nick did, which to this day I think is one of the more valuable things that's ever happened in my career, was he identified that it's not just faith-based, it's heartland, it's Southern, it's Middle America, it's, you know, the entertainment world gets so excited about the West Coast and the East Coast and kind of these like sexy coastal entertainment hubs. What about everybody in the middle? The millions and millions of people in the middle. And yeah, a lot of those people are people of faith, but they're not necessarily all people of faith, and it doesn't matter if they are or are not. So I think I was trying to make my little bucket too small, and Nick really helped broaden it and identify a greater need and something that would allow us to service more clients and be more valuable to UTA, which was a home run, because I think it's the only reason that we're doing what we're doing.
So who would be someone you would want to, or that you would love to rep for Heartland?
It's a great question. I really do love the people that we do represent. I think that when you look at how we signed the Robertson family and have been able to continue to help Sadie Robertson's career grow, her sister Bella Robertson's career, Willie and Corey. These are people that were labeled as the Duck Dynasty family. And that's not who they are. That's who they were. And it was a huge part of their life. But we've been able to really help show through their new Facebook Watch show what Willie and Corey are about. Sadie is such an incredibly talented girl. And there is no ceiling on what she can accomplish. And I don't even know that she needs us. But I'll tell you that because I'm worried about what she could do on her own without me, is that I make sure that we seize every opportunity and give her everything we have, because she is so talented. Her team is so incredible, and we're just honored to be a part of it. So we got to use every UTA resource. We got to use every relationship we have to try and provide her with opportunities that she might not otherwise see. Try to help her get a really, really big, awesome book deal like we did. Try to help her get guests on her podcast that she might not have been able to secure. And like right now, she's about to have a baby and she's going to take some time off, and we'll be right there for her when she's, you know, ready to saddle up and get back to work to try and figure out what the next stage of her career is like. That to say is I love our client list, and I love the people that we are able to work with, because they're not necessarily people that we've identified as I got to go represent those people, but they're people who have come to us or we have met and kind of come across naturally and been able to say, hey, we're here, we're UTA Heartland, and we think that maybe that agency you're already at is not doing a great job, or maybe you've never had an agency, but you should. That being said, if I had to think about that, like, top tier, amazing talent. I've said this before. I think someone who I would love to work with, God, I just think it's so cheesy and corny. Like, I'd love to work with Bieber because I think that what he does on a daily basis, just putting his faith out in the open for the world to see, like telling his story, sharing his demons, letting it be known how much he loves not just Jesus, but his wife, not just his church, but his pastor. I could get on board with that. And I could say, hey, UTA, this guy is obviously the most talented pop star in the world. Obviously, he's making hundreds of millions of dollars every second or whatever it might be. I think that there's something more we can do with him in order to connect with the people that are getting more from their relationship with him as their favorite entertainer than just the people that want to sing along with his songs. Like, what about the people that look to him for hope in their own life because they see somebody that's gone through something that maybe they're going through? And I'm not sure that there is someone with more influence on the planet in that way than Mr. Biebs. Like, it's crazy to think about, but I think it's true.
The Biebs.
The Biebs. Just these new songs he's coming out with. Come on. I'm loving it.
I love it. Yeah, everyone loves Justin Bieber. Well, in my opinion. Anyway, so if you had to, our final question for you, Houston, if you had to give a shout out to a badass woman who has inspired you or helped you along the way, who would that be?
Mama, I love you.
I love it.
Absolutely. Got to give props to the mama.
I would have no shot if it wasn't for her. Over and over again, like, I got tons of second chances in life, but she walked me through it all, made sure I was cool, held my hand, and to this day checks in, just make sure that I haven't gone off the deep end or anything like that.
They're the best.
Just say, being out there in Hollywood, the devil's playground, right? That's my accent. It's not very good.
That's okay. Well, thank you so much, Houston. This has been very incredible and very inspiring.
Definitely. You seem like you love what you do, and that's amazing. And the fact that you found something that really spoke to you and inspired you, and you were able to have that great relationship with your boss. When we first started the podcast, your boss called, and it was so great to hear your back and forth and just how you guys got along. I think that's so cool.
I appreciate that. Thank you guys so much for having me, and good luck in continuing to grow this podcast and connect with people, tell awesome stories. So far, so good, it seems.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. Make sure you share our podcast and let people know that you're going to be on.
I'll do it.
This episode was produced by me, Brenda Fisher, and Jacqueline Reynolds. Also produced by Megan Ketz. Recording and editing by Herman Villacorta.